Hello and welcome to another episode of the Daily Remedy Podcast. Today we're going to talk about something that's a bit personal to me and to my patients. And that is what we generally call today as doing my own research in healthcare. And I think it's a really interesting conversation because we live in a post-pandemic world of medicine. And some people may say, well, no, we actually live in a GLP world of medicine. I would argue that the GLP-1 medications and the rise in healthcare consumerism around those medications is really symptomatic of the post-pandemic world of healthcare. And let me give you an example of that. When most patients look for a physician, they'll typically do their online research, Google the physician, look up this, look up that, check out the reviews, what have you, and pretty tried and true stuff, relatively standard. That happened before the pandemic, and it goes on now. But what happened following the pandemic is that patients started researching more than the physician himself or herself. They started researching the clinical protocols, the medications that they were taking, the clinical decisions that were being made on their behalf. As a result, this paternalistic physician holder than thou mentality shifted, and instead, we got from a paternalistic sense of medicine, a sense of equal footing on the part of the patient. The patient stopped looking at the physician as an authority figure and more as a collaborator to work together on that patient's healthcare journey. Now, you may always say, oh, well, I always treat my patients as my friends and we always had a healthy conversation. No, that's not true. Before the pandemic, when a clinical decision we made, here is your amlodipine, we're going from 5 milligrams to 10 milligrams, the patient would say, all right, let's do it. You make the clinical decisions, I'll follow your lead. Now it's like, oh, well, you're going to increase my medications. Well, I did a little bit of Google research on the side effects of increasing the dose of amlodipine from 5 to 10 milligrams. Are you sure that's the right thing to do? Because this one article said that there may be some side effects. Are you sure about this? These types of conversations, these paradigm shifts in how clinical decisions are being made are happening across the country. Whether we as physicians want to acknowledge them or not, they're taking place because patients are looking at their health experience through the lens of consumerism. Call it healthcare consumerism. We're shifting away from this paternalistic sense of medicine and moving into a more consumerism-based approach of medicine. The best way to think about this would be when searching for a new car. Yes, you look up the car, you look up the price, you look up X, Y, and Z about the features and how it drives and how it handles and all these types of things. But then you'll start going to various social media sites. You'll start reading certain bloggers. You'll try to gather as much information as possible, whether those are from credible sites or not. You then extrapolate all the data points to then come up with a conclusion on whether this is the car that you want to buy and whether this is the appropriate price that you should pay. In the same vein, patients are doing this for their own healthcare experiences. Now, you can argue how we dealt with the COVID vaccines made a big impact. You can argue how the trust in centralized healthcare institutions led to this new paradigm. Whatever is the cause, this is the effect. And we can pontificate about the cause all day long. But from a physician-to-patient standpoint, just one-on-one in a clinical encounter, these are the new changes that are taking place, and it's incumbent on us as physicians to really understand how the patient wants to be treated, because that is critical to providing good quality of care. Now, back to my original point. Why is this a post-pandemic era of medicine and not a GLP-1 era of medicine? Well, the reason for that is because the GLP-1 medications are symptomatic of this post-pandemic world. Every person who looks up semaglutide, tirzepatide, or any GLP-1 medication has quote-unquote done their own research. And by that, I mean looking at various Instagram profiles, looking up various social media bloggers, going online and doing Google searches, and that's how they consume healthcare information about the GLP-1 medications. That's how patients learn about compounding pharmacies. That's how patients learn about side effects. Now, it's interesting when you think about it in that lens. Initially, it would be the physician's instinct to just simply dismiss that and say, hey, you're not looking at a credible source and you need to talk to me, the physician, because I will give you, the patient, the proper clinical advice. That's gone. So now we as physicians have to look at those data points as credible information and engage in conversations where we can either debate or debunk things that are not true. Before, we would have these guardrails, right? Academic peer-reviewed clinical studies, PubMed searches. Now those guardrails are lessened to a point where convincing a patient to do a PubMed search versus a Google search is a point of conversation. But what I would argue to you is that those are conversations worth having because you can direct the patient to the clinical sources that have relevant, medically accurate information that you wouldn't otherwise. I noticed this trend back in 2021 when I helped establish an outpatient COVID vaccine clinic. I would say that about 1/3 of all the patients I saw would get the vaccine, no questions. And truth be told, in 2021, getting the COVID vaccine was the right thing to do. We had no idea about the virulence of the COVID virus. We had no idea how long the pandemic would last, and the vaccines offered some help. Did it help prevent the spread of COVID? No. Can I defend those in positions of power who made those false claims? No. But what I can say to my patients is that I was always honest and I told them the benefits and the risk of the COVID vaccine. But more importantly, I told them the limitations of the COVID vaccine. It's not going to stop the spread of COVID. It'll likely diminish the severity of the symptoms. If you're going to get COVID, you're going to get COVID. But instead of a 10 out of 10 in terms of symptomatic acuity, you may be at a 5 out of 10. And if that helps prevent a hospitalization and reserve medical space in that hospital for a more sick patient, then that, in my opinion, in 2021 was the right thing to do. And in terms of messaging, those in positions of power should have said the truth about the vaccine and told the public that it'll help reduce the severity of the symptoms, potentially prevent hospitalizations, and clear up space for those who are more sick. If they would have just said it that way and simply told the public, we don't know the extent of COVID. These vaccines carry certain risk, but we are asking you to perform your patriotic duty to simply take the vaccines so that we can prevent the severity of the infection among those who are generally considered more healthy in the population. You see what I did there? I made it about patient empowerment. I presented the vaccines in a way where the decision-making was in the patient's hands. We would even go to the Vaccine Adverse Event Database, the VAERS, and we would go through all the side effects of the COVID vaccine. And you may think, that is a very dumb thing to do if you're trying to convince a patient to get a COVID vaccine. The reality of the situation is that was the most effective way to convince patients to get the COVID vaccine because I was honest about the side effects and I presented everything to them in a manner that they felt comfortable. Rather than showing them the adverse effects, I showed them where they can research the adverse effects. I empowered the patients by providing a full array of information so that they can make the decision on their own. That is the legacy of the pandemic. Patients want to be empowered and they want to be in the driver's seat when it comes to making the clinical decisions. We as physicians have to adjust to that new life and we have to understand that patients need to be communicated to in a different manner and they need to be respected in the way that they want to be communicated. Because after all, part of our role as providers is not just to treat the disease, but it's to heal the patient. And communication is a major part of the healing process. So now let's talk about what research means in today's world. Research has a very specific definition in academic circles. You review primary sources, you cross-reference the validity of those sources, and then you present material in a narrative or prose-style formatting based upon your analysis of those primary sources. Most people look at research in a more lax manner, not holding true to the original definition or what academics would consider the definition of research. They simply find sources and then make interpretations based on those sources. And there's different patterns to that. You'll have people who will do the Google search and find the top three articles and derive opinions based on the most high-ranking articles. You'll have people who will go down the rabbit hole and will go down every Reddit subreddit page, go down every blogger site, and then derive opinions based on what new insights they were able to find. The more difficult they was able to find that blogger's post, the more enticing that content would appear to the patient. So there's different mannerisms when it comes to how people will interpret online information. But the fact of the matter remains this: the information is sourced, either readily available information or hard to find information. And depending on the patient's predilection for what they would consider to be trustworthy or authoritative information, they'll then derive an opinion. Typically, I've seen two manners. One is a patient will take whatever is readily available and say, "That's my opinion." Patient or another patients would then take what is not readily available, what is hard to find, and then consider that pursuit of that difficult to find content as authoritative. The internet was hiding it from me. Therefore, there must be a reason why the internet was hiding it from me. That's the truth, and I'm going to accept that as the truth. I say all of this not to be pejorative, but to be observant about how patients are deriving their interpretations on clinical care and how they're formulating their opinions on what are good clinical decisions and what are not good clinical decisions. You see this when you look at GLP-1 medications and how patients decide, "Well, I'm going to choose this vendor," or "I'm going to choose that peptide." It's not a logically derived decision. It's an emotionally derived decision. And it's derived based on how patients formulate trust. It's a very personalized process, and most of the time, patients don't understand that's how they're formulating trust. But we as physicians have to understand these are the patterns of trust generation in today's world of healthcare, and this is how I'm going to treat the patient, knowing full well this is how the patient wants to be treated. That's what doing research means in this day and age of medicine. It's not about the actual research itself. It's about formulating patterns of trust and positioning yourself as a physician, as a care provider, as one data point of trust for the patient. Not that you will debunk or turn away any misinformation or disinformation, but rather you will be a guiding compass so that when the patients are analyzing everything that they're researching with everything that you're saying, your voice holds true. And it's less about paternalistically creating a point of authority and more about creating multiple points of engagement in a friendly manner so that patients will respect what you have to say as they would respect a friend or a trusted family member. So recognize the patterns of patient communication in today's post-pandemic world of medicine. Today, the GLP-1 medications are all the rage. Tomorrow, it may be another therapeutic. The day after that, it may be a new medication or a new form of procedure. But the fact of the matter remains the same. We live in a world of healthcare consumerism, and patients are consuming information in ways that they've never before. And we as physicians have to make sure that we adjust to that, we respect that, and we find ways to treat the patient the best way possible within that new framework.